Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 103. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Deuteronomy 29:29. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They're preserved forever. Psalm 37:28. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In our wonderful study through the Word of God, an emphasis has been placed upon the book of Ephesians. We've analyzed the first chapter. We have now moved into the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. We've looked at the first seven verses. We are now at Ephesians 2, verse 8. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today, realizing, as always, that our purpose for being here is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're here to learn God's Word. We're here to advance spiritually. We're all aware of the fact that we have been given a magnificent system by which we can learn and advance. And that's just what we call the system, the grace system of comprehension, which simply means that when we pray in these few moments we have for just a little bit, we find ourselves back in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit. And that means that we're in a position then to properly receive, properly metabolize the wonderful truths of God's Word. It's so important that we spend these moments in prayer to be sure that our hearts are right with Him. That's the reason why we spend a few moments. We ask you to join us in these moments of prayer, please. Father, we're here today because of your grace, and we thank you for every blessing. We thank you that we're saved by grace, kept by grace, blessed by grace. We have the assurance that one of these days we will leave this life either by means of physical death or by means of the rapture. And when that occurs, we'll be absent from this body and we'll be at home in heaven with our wonderful Savior. We do not deserve this gift. We're not worthy of this gift. We can by no means pay for this gift. It is a gift from God through Jesus Christ to all of us. And so we bow to express our thanks today for the fact that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We're thankful for these verses of Scripture about which we're to study today. There are so many things for us to learn. We thank you for the opportunity to be in fellowship and to study together. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. We go back to look at verse 4, which says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his much love, wherewith he loved us." Ephesians 2, 4. Ephesians 2, 5 says, "Even when we were dead in transgressions, he quickened us together with others. By grace are you saved." Ephesians 2, 5. Ephesians 2, 6, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." A wonderful verse, Ephesians 2, 6. Ephesians 2, 7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." And then verse 8, And I put verse 9 up here because that's going to come after verse 8. And I need to go find verse 8 because I put it here for myself to refer to it. And I have it right here for you. What you see on the screen now is a presentation of verse 8 from the English and from the original text. What is so amazing to me is that I'm going to put now a statement on the screen and let you think with me about it for just a few moments as we think in terms of our verse today, Ephesians 2:8. If you'll notice, the verse says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." I'm sure that out of all the many wonderful verses that you've memorized over the years, perhaps this is one of the verses. Perhaps you've learned and memorized Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and maybe even have given attention to verse 10. But primarily in this service today, we're looking at Ephesians 2, 8. We'll spend our time this morning in both sessions on this verse. On Wednesday night, we'll still be back to Ephesians 2:8 because there's so much here for us to learn. But the statement that I want you to see at the outset is, you have been saved. You have been saved. Every person in this auditorium, every person hearing my voice today, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible reveals very vividly that He has accepted you, which simply means that you're only one breath away from being with Him in glory in heaven. You're only one heartbeat, only one breath away. Now, I don't want to try to scare you today. I'm trying not to alarm you in any fashion. But I want you to see how fantastic this verse is and what I'm presenting to you at this moment. And that is, you have been saved. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that God has worked this miracle in your life. And that if you've accepted Him, He's accepted you. And you have the assurance that if your heart stops beating before this hour is over, you'll not be here, but you'll be in His presence. You have been saved. Now, what I need to tell you is that, and I can spend a lot of time on this, and all of you are aware of it, you realize how much I enjoy looking at the particular specific words in a particular verse. So on the screen now, perhaps you cannot see it clearly from where you're sitting, but that's okay. I want you to see that the statement that I'm reading to you from Ephesians 2:8, you have been saved, is actually the Greek word that I have on the screen for you now, which is S-E-S-O-S-M-E-N-O-I. And I can just hear you say, "Oh no. You mean to tell me He's going to be presenting some Greek words and some things about the Greek word?" Yes, I am. I want you to see that when you look at this word, immediately you're able to see, if you're able to see, and I'm trying to show you that I'm able to see, so I want you to be able to see along with me. That means that if I'm able to see and you're able to see, then we're all able to see. Isn't that a wonderful conclusion? So you're with me now. I have seen, and I understand the meaning of this word. And I would do you an injustice if I didn't tell you how wonderful and great this word is. And so that's the reason why I've chosen to do that. Because I realize that all of you are extremely excited about seeing what I'm seeing. And you're going to be rejoicing along with me, since I've been rejoicing all the time I prepared this for you. You'll see that the word says, you have been saved. Now, I'm not talking about the person who sits to the left or right of you or front or back of you. I'm talking about you. I'm trying to deal with you today from a personal, very private, personal standpoint. When I look at this personal pronoun, you, I'm not talking about the person who is to the right or left, as I've already said, front or back. I'm talking about you. So I'm trying to let you see that I'm trying to be extremely personal with you today and let you see that this personal pronoun has to do with you privately and personally. If you've accepted Christ, and I trust that everyone here has, I'm going to say to you, you have been saved. And so we're looking at the word saved here. And what I've discovered is, and I know you're going to be thrilled about this, I've discovered that this word saved here is a little Greek word, S-O-Z-O, sozo, which is the word for saved. Now, what I want to know, and I want to share what I've learned with you about you in studying this, I want to share with you what I've learned so that you can appreciate what we have in this particular expression, this verb. When you look at the verb, you will discover, and I'm not going to go into all the various facets of it because when you look at a verb, you see the prefix, you see the base, the root word, you see the suffix and so forth. And so I'm able to see as I look at this word that there's a repetition at the beginning that lets me see this says S-E and then S-O, which immediately lets me see that this verb is used in a unique way, and that is it is known as a perfect tense verb. Now, some of you are saying, what in the world are you saying when you say perfect tense verb? The verb simply means there is a thing that has been accomplished in your life that is permanent. It is a forever transaction, and it's all presented to us by this one little expression that this is a perfect tense verb. It means that salvation was completed in the past. Totally completed in the past. It's a completed transaction. And what God did when He accomplished that transaction, He did something about which you and I cannot change. Even if we wanted to, we cannot change because it is a permanent transaction. Now, if you're listening very carefully, you're going to be able to see some unique things that I'm showing you from this particular word. It's a perfect tense verb, which means subject completed in the past, consummated in the past. The result of that consummation continues to this very present moment. But I notice something else here. And I notice that I put down for you to see that it's a perfect tense verb, that it's a passive voice, and it's a participle. That's the reason why you have a PF, then you have a P, and you have another P. Now, please let me just share with you, and I am excited about this because I want you to become excited. This says that this is a permanent transaction. God has completed the transaction in the past. Not anything you and I can do to change it. It's done and it's completed and it's final. But it also says, with a passive voice, that you and I, when we accepted this gift, we became the recipient of that gift. Do you see what I'm saying? It's beautiful. In other words, He completed the action. It's finalized. No one can change it. And now the passive voice says, you have been saved. Passive voice means you and I have accepted that. And He did what He said He would do. He gave to us eternal life. You've been saved. Now, I could go on and explain some other things, but let me quickly tell you, I cannot explain Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 all in one session because there's too much there. And so I want to let you see a brief overview. When you look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Then it says, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. All I've done for you is to give you verse 8, and then I quoted verse 9. When you look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, you see the presentation of salvation. salvation grace. In verse 8, salvation grace is presented in a positive way, looking at it from a positive, standpoint. When you look at the verse 9, which will be the verse we'll study later, it says, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Now, I read that, I gave that to you very hurriedly, but I want you to see that that is salvation grace presented from a negative standpoint. In other words, it is saying, salvation doesn't come to you as a result of what you do, because it says not of works. Because if we could work to be saved, then we would have something about which to boast. That's what verse 9 says. So all of you understand that, don't you? Am I okay? I want you to be able to see that in verses 8, 9, and 10, we have a total picture of salvation grace. Salvation grace from a positive standpoint. Salvation grace from a negative standpoint. We won't even get into verse 10 right now, but I will mention that when you look at Ephesians 2:10, it presents grace from the standpoint of our production. We'll study that later. Now, please go with me in your thinking. Let's look at this verse. I'm taking this off to go back to verse 8. So that you can see it with me, if I can find it again. I'm always moving things around up here. I have a wonderful time moving things around. And then I have a wonderful time trying to find where I put things that I moved around. Okay, so now we're going to be looking at Ephesians 2:8. Y'all didn't realize this, but that's the verse. Now, that's not on the screen with the Greek. I just want you to see that I'm reminding myself that that's where I am. Okay, Ephesians 2:8. Now, let me see if I can find it. I told you I had it. Oh, here it is. It's right in front of me. Okay. Now, the very first word in verse 8 is for. For by grace, and I'm going to let you see it now. You folks are so wonderful. It's amazing how you put up with me all these years. 43 years now, and you have me all confused because you're going to have a celebration for me in the break, and I'm always excited about that. I'm almost ready to dismiss and go back for the break, but we're not going to do that. Look at it. For by grace. And there's the first word, not the first word in the translation, but the first word in the Greek. So here the first word in the Greek is to be translated first in the English. So let's look at it. For by grace you have been saved. If you were looking carefully a moment ago, you saw that I put on the screen this particular verb. And I talked about it. For by grace you have been saved. And we're, later on we'll be talking about through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Now let's take a look at this. It is so amazing. When you look at Ephesians 2:8, you have to see that we have to take a look at it from an overview standpoint. So I put down here for you a brief overview of Ephesians 2:8. Here's the word for. For now, you see grace, and then I translated it for you to be able to see, for by grace. What we have here is a presentation of what God did for us at salvation. For by grace, it says, in essence, at the cross, we see grace. Grace puts us in proper relationship with God. Grace gives victory at all times. We've already emphasized this, and now I want to reiterate. You have been saved permanently. An intensive perfect emphasizes the result of a finished product. In my study of this, I came to the conclusion I need to tell you some things. And that is, if you understand God's plan, realizing that the plan came as a result of the planner, the emphasis should be placed not primarily on the plan, but on the planner. Now, I want you to follow what I'm saying. If we fully or get close to comprehending the meaning of the plan, we're able to conclude that what's more important than the plan is the one who made the plan. All right, you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to get over a thought that has been heavy on my mind because I feel like that oftentimes we're more concerned about the mechanics of the plan than we are about our acceptance of the one who made the plan. All right. Now I've said it to you, I'm going to say it again. The mechanics of the plan are outlined in the Word of God in these verses of Scripture which we have, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. The mechanics of the plan are outlined, but the planner comes first. When we really comprehend the planner, we will have no difficulty with the mechanics of the plan. Now, I ought to say that about 20 times and just let you sit there and think with me about it. Because I believe that if you'll sit there and think with me about that, you will have an appreciation for God, the one who made the plan, and you will have an appreciation for the mechanics of the plan. And you will not be frustrated or perplexed or bewildered or confused or punch any panic buttons in relationship to whether or not God knows how to take care of the details, the mechanics of the plan. I'm not talking in circle. I want to come back and let you see what I'm trying to present to you. And that is, don't get frustrated about what you may or I may think about the mechanics of this plan. Let's first of all go and accept how great and magnificent and wonderful the planner is. Because when we understand who the planner is, we can then appreciate, even though we may not fully comprehend or understand, the mechanics related to the plan. The mechanics of the plan are outlined, but the planner comes first. When we really comprehend the planner, we will have no difficulty with the mechanics of the plan. This is saying that we are completely and permanently saved through faith. And this entire plan is not out from ourselves. I have the privilege of sharing the Greek New Testament learning with one of our ministers, Jason. And let me tell you something. In teaching him about the original language, I get so excited because I anticipate his coming for class. And I'm learning, constantly learning, because I have to study to teach. You realize that you have to study to teach? And so what I've discovered in recent days, and that is that I looked at this verse of Scripture and I saw that it says, this plan is completely and permanently from us to us by faith. And then it says, and this plan, this entire plan is not out from yourselves. Now, should I do this? Do you want this or not? Okay. Over the years, I've said to you, when you look at the original language and you see the negative adverb, which is not, you have to understand that in the original language, there are different words that explain how strong that negative is. And what I'm learning now is, and I've known much of this for years, but now I'm seeing, because I'm trying to get this down to teach Jason, I'm able to see that I need to do some fine-tuning and be able to comprehend some additional things in relationship to these negative adverbs. And this says, salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Did you see that I gave you the word not two times there? And when I looked at this, I said, wow, I'm seeing something that I have, if all these years of the study, I've not seen it quite as clearly as this. And so, Jason, you're going to catch it. The next time we're together, I'm going to give it to you. I'm giving to all of you a little of it now, but just, I'm just touching the hem of the garment. I just want you to see that when you look at the original language, you will see that it says, this salvation is not from yourselves. You had nothing to do with it. God did the planning. God is the planner. God has all the mechanics of the plan put together. Don't worry and fret about how the mechanics are. Accept the plan. And then I was able to see. Oh, I was able to see. I was able to see that there's a strong negative adverb, ooh. And then I saw another strong negative adverb, ook. Now, all of you wanted to know this for years, and you've been waiting for 43 years for me to tell you this. But I want you to see that there's a third negative adverb, ook. Now, what I've learned in recent days, because I had studied this year after year, and I've looked at it many times, but now it seems like it just came up and jumped up and grabbed me and said, here it is, take a look at this. And that's the way God's Word is, folks. It's new every morning. Every time I open, every time I study, every time I go to another verb, every time I go to another adjective, a participle, noun, whatever it is, it comes up and grabs me, and I'm able to see something that I haven't seen before. Oh, I wish I could live on the earth for 1,000 years and be preaching to you, because I believe I'd be finding new things 1,000 years from now to share with you. That's how wonderful God's Word is. Do you realize how wonderful God's Word is? And when I looked at this, I saw strong, strong, strong negative adverbs. And I said, you know what? I already know this. Why am I wasting time? No, not, you're not wasting time, preacher. You've got to see this. You haven't really realized this. You've got to see it now. And it dawned on me as I studied that each one of these little negative adverbs, whether it's ook, or may, when you look at that word, you have to take moments and look at the word that follows it. Now, I think you're listening, and I want to show you something to show you how fine-tuning God's Word is to be done for us. If you look at one of those little negative adverbs, you have to look at the word that follows it. And whether that word that follows it begins with either a vowel or a consonant determines the value of that particular word. You didn't want to know that, did you? But I want you to be able to see something that I'm seeing that's wonderful and great. So I'm going to put it on the screen for just a few moments. There's the word OU. I'm going to show it to you. It's you can see it maybe from where you're sitting. The next word is O-U-K. The next word is O-U-C-H. And then there's another negative adverb that's not as strong. It's a may, the word may, that goes with verbs in the subjunctive mood. We'll talk about that later. The word that follows any one of these words reveals the strength of that negative. In other words, the first letter of the word that follows it. Right here, O-U-K, the letter that follows it is a vowel. When you have just these two letters for a negative adverb, O-U, the letter that follows it is a consonant. Now, some of you have had difficulty in school anyway with these things, so you're saying, you know, I really don't care about hearing all of this. That's okay. I want you to see that the other word, O-U-C-H, is used before vowels with a rough breathing mark. So you have to know all of these various facets to come to the conclusion of what the scripture, what it's saying. All right. Let me show you what the translation is. And we're almost ready for the break. Now you see. For now you see. By the grace, you have been completely and permanently saved. God doesn't sponsor any flops. When you accepted Him, He accepted you. He saved you with a permanent, completed transaction, salvation. There are many verses in the Scripture that deal with the eternal security of the believer. This, to me, is one of the strong ones. And once you understand this, if you have any doubt, what you're doing is you're placing doubt in the wrong person, because you're placing doubt in the planner, realizing that you're looking at the plan and you're thinking about the mechanics of what you conclude are the mechanics of the plan, and you've drawn false conclusions about the mechanics of the plan. I'm hoping when I go back and hear this, if I should, on the air, that I will say, I think those folks got that. Now you see, by the grace, you have been completely and permanently saved. How have you been completely and permanently saved? By faith. Then he goes on to say, even this transaction. Grace is a word in the negative gender. Faith is a word in the negative, it is in the feminine gender. Grace and faith are in the feminine gender. Here, we have a word that is in the neuter gender. So it's not saying, now you see by grace you've been completely and permanently saved. Even this grace, even this faith, not so, even this total plan, this total plan is not out from the source of you. It's a free gift, never to be earned, never to be deserved. It's totally a gift from God to you. Okay. What I have to tell you, and this is, I'm going to use this in closing. Look again at the verse. It says, for the grace, for by the grace, you have been permanently, gloriously, magnificently saved by means of, through faith. In the next session, we're going to get into that word there, faith. But then it says, and that, O-U-K, not, strong negative adverb, with a word that follows it, with a vowel, not a consonant, but a vowel. And that transaction, that completed work, is not from you, out from yourselves. It's a gift. Doron is the word for gift. It's a gift of God. 1 minute. To those who hear my voice today, who've never accepted this gift, I want to tell you again, there's no greater gift to be received than salvation. And the scripture says, you're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. That faith is a work that God has done. And we accept what He's done, a total transaction. He does all the saving. We do the trusting. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege of looking at this magnificent verse. There are so many things here. This is such a beautiful presentation of your greatness. We are thankful for salvation through grace. It's a gift from God. It's not from us at all. Not a works, lest any one of us should boast. If we could have any part in salvation, then we would have something about which to boast. But there's no way under heaven where we could have any part in this magnificent salvation gift. It's a gift to be received. It's a completed transaction. God has done everything, and He's provided this gift for each individual. That's the reason why the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any person here today or listening to my voice, we can say to them very clearly from the Word of God that salvation is a gift to be received. We trust and you save. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.